Today we're going to talk about responding to the presence of God. Wow, you got the whole thing. See, we're done. Responding to the presence of God. If you want to read a great message on the presence of God, read this. Okay, the Bible. If you look through the scriptures, this was probably one of the most difficult messages for me to write as far as content. You're going to see a lot of scripture today. And there's so much that can be said about the presence of God. The more we dive into it, the more we realize, I think, that most of us have only begun to scratch the surface of what it means to walk and be in the presence of God. And the more we dive in, the more we'll realize just how much God loves us. And he's been trying to get the attention of the human race since Adam. That's pretty much what God's been trying to do. So we're going to start with Hebrews 4:16. This is one of my favorite scriptures. You've probably heard me say it before, but I think it just paints a beautiful and awesome picture of what it's like and how we can approach the presence of God. It says, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Some translations say, "Therefore, run boldly before the throne of grace." Picture that for a second, running boldly before God. Running boldly before God. Getting to him, getting there. Not just like, well, okay, Jesus, here I am. You know, meek and humble me. Jesus, I need you right now. I mean, this is how boldly we can go. And I'm giving you the ending before I'm giving you the beginning. But hey, but picture that. What do you need? What? Oh, of the screen. I'm sorry. I'm blocking the screen. just call me a rookie here. So picture that. Jesus on the throne, extending his scepter to you. Yes, approach. Come and approach. Michelle, come. Judy, come. Come. Okay, it's a love, it's a scepter. We can run boldly. Enter in, you're allowed access. Now you see on our boards here, when you come in, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. I know that the best way to get into your presence is to say something nice about you. I love that necklace, Judy. That is pretty. I love it. Yeah. Now, when I do that, that opens her up, right? Now, I got a bone to pick with you right now, right? I got a problem right now. Whoa. Right? But when we enter God's presence with thanksgiving and joy and praise, he's like, come in, let's talk. Then we can talk about that bone we have to pick. Then we can talk about that issue, right? Does that make sense? Okay, everybody's out there. I get it. Okay. I believe that today God wants us to be reminded of the confidence that we can have to come before Jesus, that we can run boldly. We can come with confidence. The Apostle Paul said that we're not confident in ourselves, that anything has come from ourselves, but that our confidence is in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. It is not our character that allows us into his presence. It's not because we're so great or so perfect, right? Because we all know that we're not. Right? It's not because of us. We are allowed into his presence because of who he is and what he's done for us. And as we walk into the presence of God and as we're with him, we will be changed into his image. The Bible says from glory to glory, from grace to grace. In Psalm 139, King David describes the nearness of God. He says, "Where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee? You know, and no matter where I go, Lord, you're there. No matter where I go, you're with me." Pretty much, I can't get away from you, God, right? God's presence is with us always. We can't hide from it, but we can choose to be blind to it. We could choose to not see it, and we can choose to not acknowledge his presence. How about you can't get away from yourself, right? Do you ever think, I just need one day away from myself? You can't do that, right? Now, it's cute because my daughter, Bella, she likes to follow me around the house. Anybody have one of those attached? She's like, "Mom, oh, you have to go potty? Let's make a train. I'll come with you." You know, she grabs onto my waist. I'm like, could I just kind of go? Because I'm sorry, but that's not where the throne of grace is, okay? You're not real graceful when you're there, right? But so anyway, yesterday morning, well, Cliff's away this weekend, so it's been kind of a busy weekend. You know, I've got Bella, and we've been having a real good time together. So yesterday morning, I woke up at 4 in the morning. I'm going to get up at 4 a.m., and I'm going to work on my message. Just sat down to work on the message, and who wakes up? Bella. Mama! She screamed at the top of her lungs. Okay, now that's enough to, like, you know, curdle your blood a little bit. I ran in. What's wrong, honey? Mommy, I just had a really bad dream. And I was like, okay, buddy. And I hugged her, and I brought her out to the kitchen, and I made her a little cup of tea, and she sat at the table with me, and then she laid down by the chair that where I was sitting. And I was thinking, okay, Lord, at first I thought, now my brain is all on this, and I was going to work on the message. And God was like, no, that's a perfect illustration of what it's like when you come to me. Jesus, what's up, what do you need, buddy? I'm going through something really tough right now. Okay, all right, let's come together. I got you. Here, come lay down at my throne. Come rest, right? I mean, we'll talk about, we're done. Okay, go home. So I felt that way. I'm like, Lord, you know, he's just awesome. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, for I am convinced, say convinced, convinced. That means you know that 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 you know because you've experienced it. He said, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You cannot make God stop loving you. You cannot make God stop loving you. And there's nothing that you can do that would make him stop loving you. Christ's love is with you always. Will you receive it? All we have to do is call in his name. You know, we would notice pretty quickly if all the oxygen were to escape this room, right? We'd notice that pretty quickly. And I guarantee we'd notice if God would suddenly remove his presence from the room. We would feel it. First of all, we would cease to exist because we exist. In him we live and move and exist. We can't exist apart from God, but we can choose to not give him glory and attention. Okay, so just as your body would die without oxygen, and not just any form of gas, not just any air, but oxygen. God made it so that we specifically need oxygen. There's lots of different types of gases and airs, right? We need the specific one, Jesus, in order for us to be spiritually, mentally, emotionally stable and whole and well. Not just spirituality, not just religion. We need Jesus. And he made that. He did that on purpose. Don't fall for a cheap counterfeit. Jesus is it. And he cannot be merely an acquaintance. Not merely somebody you just come and visit on a Sunday morning. But someone that you live and breathe and work and live in. God made Adam and Eve, right? He made them for each other. From the very foundation of the world, God made us in his image so that we could have relationship with him, an unlimited fellowship. Unlimited fellowship. He created us for unity and oneness and to live in tandem with him. God created us to live in tandem, hooked to him always, right? We're meant to do life with God. If we're dismissing God from any area of our lives, we're dismissing the best part of our life. He's the best part of your life. I can't imagine life without Jesus. You know, but God walked and talked with Adam and Eve in perfect, unhindered relationship. They were made for eternal life. They were made for leadership over the earth. And then Adam, what did he do? He sinned, right? And what did they do when they sinned against God? They hid. So I'm going to try to go over here. I'm moving. Sorry, Bob. Right? They hid behind the tree. God will never find me back here. He'll never know I'm here. Right? And God said, Adam, where are you? God knew where Adam was. I think God is saying to some of you right now, where are you? I want you to say, where are you? Now say your name. Jen. Now let's say it all together. Where are you, Jen? Right? Where are you? You know, how about us when we want to hide? What do? Something goes wrong and I'm going to bed. I'm going to go under the covers. I'm done. You know, I'm not getting up. We get sad. We get depressed. We get down. We isolate. We don't come to church. I'm not going to church. I don't want to see people. Hello? When you go to heaven, we're going to see each other a lot. for a really long time, right? Think about it. We want to be with people. We want to, you know, we don't want to not come to church, not talk to other people. When we get upset, you know, when we do something wrong, we tend to want to blame other people. You know, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed Adam. Eve blamed the serpent. The devil made me do it. The devil can't make us do anything. We choose, right? And I believe that since Adam, the human race has been trying to hide from God. God is saying, where are you? Where are you? People want to push God, especially Jesus, out of everything. Out of our schools, out of our public buildings, even out of the churches. Well, the Bible's antiquated. No, it's the only thing that we have that has always spoken truth to us. We wonder why there are mass shootings and riots and the governments are crumbling from the inside out. Families, churches, crumbling from the inside out. Because people are crumbling from the inside out. People are crumbling. I think God's saying, where are you, America? Where are you, church? Where are you, world? Let's go. Focus on me, is what God's saying. People are crumbling because they've left out, they've dismissed the most valuable, essential part of what is needed for spiritual, emotional, and mental survival. What is that? Jesus. And running boldly before his throne. Everybody say boldly. Boldly. From the beginning of time, humans, who can only breathe because God has given us breath, right? We think our ways are better than God's. And God's like, no, my ways and my thoughts are way higher than yours. And I always think about the fact that our brains are about that big. And we think we can understand the mind of God. You know, we think we get it, but we really don't. But there's hope. There's hope, right? God made a plan to restore relationship and send his son Jesus to take back what the devil tried to steal. Despite our disbelief, despite our selfishness, our religious attitudes, God so loved the world that he gave his son. And Jesus said that his purpose, in Luke 19:10, he said his purpose is to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission. Now, let's go on to... Oh, yes. So because of Jesus, we have full access to the throne room of God, and we can run boldly before the throne of grace. We don't have to shrink back in shame. Let's go to the Old Testament. This is Moses. This is a picture of what the tent might have looked like, the tent of meeting, basically where they went to worship and where they went to be with God. And in the book of Exodus, we read about how Moses had led God's people out of slavery in Egypt. Moses would go to this tent of meeting and seek the Lord. And when he'd go, people would kind of watch him. And the Lord's presence would come down in a pillar of cloud. And the Lord himself would speak with Moses. And it says in Exodus 33:11, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. And Moses stayed close with the Lord as much as he could. He had such a relationship with God that he was in a continual communication with him. Moses didn't always like the tasks that God set him to do. Anybody get an amen here? You know, do you ever have a, God tells you to do something, you're like, really, God, me? And that's what Moses was like, me? You know, he was probably like, I'm 80 years old. I just want to sit on the mountain and do nothing for the rest of my life. God's like, no, you need to go set my people free. You know, and so Moses would actually, if you look at it, semi like almost negotiate with God. He would negotiate. He's like, hey, you're coming with me. If you're sending me to do this, God, you have to come with me. And God said, because God said, I'm not going with you guys, because if I go with you, I'm going to basically destroy you all because you're not following me. And Moses pleaded with God and said, no, I need you to come with us. And so God said, okay, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. And then Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. And I want to encourage you, anytime you're going to step into something that God's telling you to do, whether it's have a child, raise a child, step into a new job, step into a marriage, you've got to ask the Lord to go with you. Lord, I'm not doing this unless you're with me. I need you, Lord. At the end of chapter 33, God even allowed Moses to physically see his back. Moses said, I want to see you. And God said, I can't let you see my face because if you see my face, you'll die. But as I walk by you, I'm going to cover you with my hand. And when I walk by, you'll be able to see my back. And Moses saw the Lord in that way. When Moses in chapter 34 went up to receive the Ten Commandments from God for the second time, because Moses had broken the other two, because he was mad. Did you ever break something that God gave you because you were mad? Moses gets you. Okay, so he was glowing from the glory of God. Imagine that. Imagine if everybody walked in here glowing. Now, he didn't have any pearl cream or some kind of illuminating, you know, makeup or something that he put on. And when you look at it, he didn't even eat for 40 days. He was up there, no food, no water for 40 days. I don't look good after 40 days of no food and no water. My skin is not glowing, right? But his was glowing from the glory of the Lord. It's interesting because in the Hebrew language, their word for presence is face. That's their term for being in someone's presence. You're being, we say, in your face, right? In your face. Being in God's face, face to face with him, right? So Moses reflected the face of Jesus. And you'll often see, seek my face, seek my presence, seek me. You'll see that in the Bible often. So do you radiate God's presence? Do you radiate his presence? Do you know someone who radiates him? Can people see when you've spent time with Jesus? Is there a smile on your face? Is there joy in your heart? God doesn't want grumpy Christians. We should not be grumpy. We should be joyful. And it doesn't mean we don't have hard things. It doesn't mean, you know, my cat died. Well, praise God. You know, we don't have to, you know, I apologize if your cat died this week. I'm sorry. But, you know, we can be real. But we know where we get our joy. It's from him, right? Hebrews 3:4-6 says, "For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." So Moses was a servant of God, and his example foreshadowed or kind of foretold Jesus' servant leadership and how Jesus delivers us from slavery and captivity, just as Moses did in the Old Testament. But Jesus is the Son of God, and we're his house. And Moses served the people by upholding the law and making sure people were doing their sacrifices for their sins. Jesus served by laying his life down and becoming the final sacrifice for us. He bought and paid for us. You are paid for. Someone bought you. They would like you, God would like you in his possession. He'd like you to be his, but he lets us choose. It is by God's grace that we are saved through faith. It's not from ourselves. It is a gift from God. So the old covenant way, the Old Testament, is based on law and works. If you're in a religious mindset, you will think that the more you do, the happier God will be with you. You'll think that the more you do, the closer you'll be with God. Now, you can feel close to God when you serve him. You can feel like, God, this is great. I love doing this with you. I want to do works with you. But it doesn't make him love you more or now suddenly put you on this special list. Right? But he will give you favor. He will come along and help you because you've asked him. But it doesn't change your salvation. It doesn't change your salvation. Okay. So, the old covenant based on law and works. If you've ever tried to read the Bible from cover to cover, you may have stopped right around the time that God was giving Moses all the laws, right? Because it gets long, right? If it's long reading them, imagine having to memorize them and do them. Imagine having to keep those laws. We have no idea how good we have it as Christians. We have no idea that we could just rest. I remember one time Pastor Rick, hey Pastor, I just saw you in the back there. Pastor Rick had a couch up here and he was like, this is what it's like to be in God's presence. And he just kind of laid on the couch for a little bit. You know, and it doesn't mean we stay on the literal couch, but there is a rest in our hearts of just, you know what, no matter what's going on, I'm not going to let it shake me. And when I feel shaken, I know where to go, right? So the old covenant required death, but Jesus brought a new covenant. You know, when Moses' face shone, when it radiated God's glory because he spent time in God's presence, You know, he was so shiny that he actually had to put a veil over his face because the people couldn't look at him and they didn't want to look at him. It was probably like, whoa, you know, what's this guy all about? So in 2 Corinthians, Paul addresses this and he says, their minds were hardened, the people. For to this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So that means when we don't have Jesus, people that don't have Christ and the Spirit, it's like there's a covering over their eyes. And they can't, when they read the Bible or they hear a scripture, it doesn't make sense and no, that can't be. But when they start hearing and learning about Jesus, that veil starts falling and the things become more and more clear. And then they say, you know what, I want this. You know, the first time you ask Jesus in your heart, you truly don't understand what that means yet fully until you start living with him. But that veil starts to come down. In the Old Testament temple, there was a place called the Holy of Holies, and the presence of God was only in the inner room that only the high priest, the most special person, could enter. And if he had done anything wrong, he would die. He had to make sure he had his I's dotted and his T's crossed and everything was perfect when he went in there. And the people would wait outside because he had bells or something on him that would kind of, they could hear him moving around in there, and if he stopped moving, they would drag him out with a rope. Oh, he died, you know, and pull him out. So thank God we don't have to do that, right? So if they failed to meet requirements, they would die. But Jesus brought that new and living way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And when Jesus said, it is finished, and he died, there was a great earthquake, and the veil of the temple that kept God's presence in that one spot and kept us out of that one spot was torn in two. It was completely destroyed, torn down, and Jesus became the final death sacrifice. And then he rose from the grave. He ascended to heaven. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he prays for us. So now we can run boldly before the throne of grace. We have full access. Anybody can go to the throne of grace. We don't have to go through a person. We can go directly. So many times people will say to, you know, me or Cliff or Pastor Rick or one of our leaders, hey, you guys have a direct connection to God. Can you pray for me? And I always remind them, you have a direct connection. I'll pray with you, but you can go to the throne. You don't need me. I'll pray with you as a support, but you go to God. He hears your prayers just as much as he hears my prayers. We can come boldly. Anyone who would call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Like Bella called out, Mama, and I ran to her. I didn't think, oh, well, she was bad yesterday, so I'm not going in that bedroom. Think about it. We call out to Jesus and we think he's not going to come because I sinned yesterday. No, he comes at the sound of his children's voice. He comes and he's there. Satan, our enemy, we have a very real enemy who wants to keep us from the presence of God. He wants to devour people by lying to us, telling us that God doesn't care, that maybe we don't even really need him. He doesn't even exist. So where do we run to when we run boldly before the throne of grace? We don't have to go far. He's here. If you have Jesus, he's here in your heart. 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Adam and Eve felt shame and they ran and hid from God. Jesus runs to us and he calls us to run to him, right? We don't have to shrink back in shame. And you can't outrun Jesus. And no matter where you go, he's there. And no matter how long you live, he will always be seeking your heart. Will you turn and seek his as well? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So what's our position in the presence of God? Rest. Jesus said, come, I'll give you rest. Well, how do we get rest when we're going through something really difficult? We talk to Jesus about it. We talk about it. We don't think a prayer. Okay, I'm going to go pray. That's just, yeah. You can maybe think of an idea of what you could pray, but say it out loud. Jesus, I need you. I need your help right now. I don't know what to do. And just talk to him about it. Like Moses did, like a friend talks to a friend. If you get nothing else, I want you to get this point today. The more we look at Jesus, the less important the things of this world become. The more you look at Jesus, the less important the things of this world become. Your rest is not found in the absence of work, but in the presence of God. We can run boldly. Let's say it with me. Run boldly. We can come to him with confidence. Jesus, I need your help. Sometimes that's the only prayer I can pray. Help, Jesus. You ever pray that? Help, right? So many of us are crying out, run boldly. I see teenagers in here, young adults. I'm proud of you for being at church. I'm proud of you. Have you made a lot of mistakes recently? Run boldly. Did you sin this week on purpose? Run boldly. Did you fall into temptation at work? Run boldly. Did you fall back into an old habit, an old addiction? Run boldly to the throne of grace. Have you had suicidal thoughts that will not let you go? Run boldly before the throne of grace. Get on your knees and run boldly. Don't go get the gun. Don't go get the drugs. Don't go to porn. Don't go and have a relationship with someone that's not your wife and not your husband. You run boldly before the throne of grace. He is our husband. We are the bride. You go to him. You get the help from him. He is the only way. Have you been wrestling with your faith because of everything that's been going on in the world? You're looking at the world. You're looking at the news. You're looking everywhere but at Jesus. You're not going to find rest. You're going to find hopelessness. You're going to find, why do I even live? Why would I even bring children into this world? We need to bring children in this world so that they can stand firm in the final days before Jesus comes back. We need those children to come to know, love, and serve Jesus, to stay steadfast. Teens, stay steadfast in what God says in his word. Don't let the world try to cover your face with a veil. Let the Lord teach you. Do you feel hopeless, helpless? Run boldly. Are you mad at God? Run boldly. Do you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And are you thankful for what he's done for you? Go to him boldly. Jesus said the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. If it is killing you, if it is stealing from you, if it is destroying you, it is from the hand of Satan, right? If it is bringing you life and good things and hope, it's from Jesus. If it's love, it's from God. If it's not love, it's not from God. Stop listening to the enemy. Stop listening to the liar. Stop going to Facebook instead of to the face of God. Social media is not our journal. Social media is not your journal. And don't let it be your God. Don't let it be your God. You know, I know that things are said about me, our church, on social media. I'm not reading it. Because you know why? Whoever does that, I still love them. There is not one person on this planet, if they showed up to my door, I wouldn't put the coffee on for them. And I'd say, come in and sit down. Because you know what? I cannot hold hurt against other people, because then this job and what I do, I would not be effective. And whatever you're doing for Jesus, you focus on him and what he says about you. We can't control people. We cannot control what people say or what they do or what they think. If you ever tried to do that, you're just running in a... You're going around the mountain like the Israelites did. And you're going to keep running and running. And I'm not saying to make myself... I'm not saying that to make myself look like, oh, I have that all... No. Do you think I don't cry sometimes? Do you think I don't feel sad sometimes? Life is hard. But with Jesus, I breathe you in. just like the oxygen, I need you. And you just breathe a couple times. Okay, Lord, you're taking care of it. Jesus said, you need me. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. He said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. So apart from me, you can do nothing. Say nothing. Nothing. We can do nothing of value without Jesus. He's saying, look, you need me. The pruning process happens in the presence of the vine dresser. When we get before the Lord and you say, Lord, I may be sad about these things that are going on around me, but it's not about them right now. It's about me and you. What do you want to do in me? What are you changing in my heart that I need to see this situation from your perspective? So many times we want to go to God and we want to tell him every single problem we have and every single person that's hurt us and ask him to bring down lightning and fire on them. No, refine me with fire. Refine me with fire. And when you ask God to refine you with fire, you'll go through the fire. You'll experience something that polishes you and transforms you from glory to glory. And you'll be like, oh, I'm glad I'm out of that. But thank you, Lord, for taking me through that. Thank you. The pruning process happens in the presence of the vine dresser. If we want to be like Jesus, we have to spend time in his presence. We have to let him work in our heart. You know, tell him that he's holy. Tell him that you love him. Talk to him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Ask him with boldness. If there's something that you need, you ask him. Whatever it may be, provision for help, for hope, whatever it may be. And he will do it for us. Ask God what changes he wants to make in our hearts. Ignoring or dismissing God's word will end up making us a dried up branch. I don't want to be a dried up, useless branch because I haven't clung to the vine. You've heard it said and may have used the expression, not today, Satan, right? I heard a lot of people, not today, Satan, which is awesome to speak, but we have to tell him why. We have to back it with God's word. Satan has to respond to God's word. That's what he will respond to. So we can say, not today, Satan, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Not today, Satan, because no weapon formed against me will prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. Not today, Satan, because I have the mind of Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you have no authority over my thoughts. In Jesus' name, I take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You won't get through two scriptures and Satan's running. He's running. He doesn't want to hear the word of God. But we have to say it out loud. Speak it. He can't hear your thoughts. He can throw lots of thoughts into your mind, but he doesn't hear you think a prayer. You speak it. When Lisa was leading worship over here, I was struggling in my heart. And I was like, Satan, you have no authority over this service right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, you come, you fill us, you work, you do your work. We're not perfect. You know? Right, Pastor? Pastor's getting closer and closer. The more he gets from glory to glory to glory. Before Jesus went to the cross, he prayed for us. He said, Lord, I do not ask that you take them. He was praying for the disciples. He was praying for us out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. That's pretty much refine them with fire. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, let me pause there a second. Do you understand that when Jesus ascended to heaven, it was not on Facebook and everyone knew about it, right? Just a few people saw this. And as a result of their obedience to Jesus' words, we are sitting here today. I think they're getting lots of hugs when we get to heaven, right? Thank you. Thank you, right? So I love what Jesus says this. He says, Father, you are in me and I in you and they in us, that may, we may be perfected, that may, they may believe. And I found this kind of, it's probably not the perfect illustration, but it's like the Father, the Son, and us all kind of in together, you know, and the Holy Spirit's in all of this. And we're kind of work together in tandem, that we're all in it together. If you prefer Cliff's way he remembers this, is it's that old Barney song. I in you, you and me, together we're in unity. Okay, that Cliff told me that. He told me I could feel free to use it. Thanks, honey. All right. So, all right. So they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Powerful prayer that Jesus prayed for you, and he's still doing that. Do you know why Jesus prayed for us and continues to do so? Because he understands what it was like to walk on this earth. He understands you. He gets you. He got his feet dirty when he stepped down from heaven and started walking along men with men. He gets what it's like to be you. And he did say, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Not one of us has suffered to the point of death like Jesus has. Hebrews 2:18 said, for since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. And then in Hebrews 4:11-16, let's read this one together. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find help, grace to help in time of need. Amen. You guys getting this today? Okay. So Jesus gets you. Can you say, Jesus gets me? Jesus gets me. Whatever you're going through right now, wherever you are, wherever you've been, it's no surprise to Jesus. He already knows, but he wants you to talk about it because he made us for communion, communication with him. Not a religion, not doing stuff for him. I can do a whole lot of things for Cliff, but if I don't spend time with Cliff, our relationship will not be good, will not be healthy. Okay? So I'll give you an example. A couple weeks ago, a classmate of mine from high school passed away. He had committed suicide. And I didn't know his mother. I didn't really know him well. Even in high school, we didn't have a lot of classes together, anything like that. But I had this feeling that I was going to be asked to do the funeral. And I was like, why would they ask me? It was just this, like, passing thought. Well, a day later, 2 days later, I got a call asking if I would do the service. I said yes immediately. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit had already told me that I was supposed to do that. Now, I say that because so often we say, you know, God doesn't tell us the future. Well, he's told us a lot of the future. We win, Satan loses. We know that. We know he's coming back. And Jesus said multiple times in the book of John, I'm telling you these things so that when they happen, you'll know that I was sent. You'll know that I am God. God will speak things to your heart and give you clues to things when you spend time with him. And sometimes it doesn't, right? It doesn't happen maybe at the time that you're in prayer, but while you're walking around with God, you'll get this thought, I should call so-and-so right now. I should send a text to this friend. And you text them or you call them and they say, I can't believe you just called me because this just happened. Wow, that's the Holy Spirit. So likening it to a marriage, if I spend time with Cliff, he can tell me what he's planning to do tomorrow. Okay, let's look at our calendars. Let's talk about what we're doing tomorrow. If I don't, when tomorrow comes and he says, oh, I got 6 meetings today, and I say, well, I have 5 meetings. What are we doing? Now you end up in a little fight, right, over the schedule. But if we had just spent time together, that thing wouldn't have been a surprise. So when we spend time with God and we let him speak to us through his Holy Spirit, when we get to that place, we know when we should say yes and when we should say no. Does that make sense? Sometimes God gives us those clues. Okay. So a way to feel God's presence quickly. Now, there's no formula to this, but if you're in a crowd of people, God can talk to you in the secret quiet place and he can talk to you in the public loud space. Okay? If you're with people, I don't recommend Jesus, you know, in the middle of the store. Okay? You could, but, you know, people might, it doesn't matter what people think. Let me back up. If you feel the need to do that, if Jesus is coming back, get on your knees, lift your hands. Okay. But if you're talking to someone and they say something in your heart, in your spirit, under your breath, Jesus, show me what you want to do right now in this moment. I come before you, Lord. Help me. Help me to help this person. When you're alone, I just recommend, God, you're holy. You are holy. I love you, Lord. I come boldly before your throne of grace, where you give me mercy, you give me help in my time of need. Thank you, God, that I'm never alone. You're always with me, and I give you all these circumstances that are worrying me right now. The thoughts of my heart, the thoughts of my mind, Lord, let them line up with what you want to say to me, what you say about me. Father, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my sins and my wrongdoings. And Lord, change me. Holy Spirit, work in my life. Help me to be a blessing to others. Help me, Lord, to be all that you've designed me to be and created me to be. I'm yours, Lord. I long to obey you and trust you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you calm my heart, my mind. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Why do we kneel? Why do we sing? Why do we rest in the presence of God? Because he is our creator, our savior, our friend. He is your everything. You are his bride. You are his beloved, his son, his daughter. We are his people. He is our master, our protector, our provider. He gives us his counsel, his wisdom, his grace, his mercy and love, forgiveness, peace, hope, assurance. He is all merciful, all gracious, all knowing. His wisdom is infinite. His love is boundless. His hands are ready. His ears are attentive. His eyes see. And he loves you. His mind is greater. His thoughts are bigger and higher. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can think, ask, or imagine. His breath is life-giving. His voice is powerful, yet calming. His heart is huge. His storehouses are unlimited. He is willing. He is able. He is caring. He doesn't run away from you. He runs to you. He isn't ashamed of you. He loves you. He has taken your sin upon himself, and then he cast it as far as the east is from the west. You matter to him. He wants your cares. He wants your burdens. He wants your heart. He wants your life, and he has a great plan for you. You just got to get into his presence. Seek his face. Seek his heart. Seek his word. Did I mention that he's King of Kings? He is Lord of Lords. He is the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. If Jesus walked into our presence right now, we would all fall to our knees. There's none like him. No other God, nothing else in this world comes close to comparing with him. He's the beginning and the end, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Life, the great I Am, all-powerful, all-knowing, redeeming and soon returning King. He's coming back. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life." And later, as Jesus was preparing for the cross, he said, "So that the world may know that I love the Father, I do, just as the Father has commanded me." And he said, "Get up, let's go from here." He was basically saying, "Let's do this. Let's do this. This is going to be hard, but let's do this, because this is God's will." God loves the world. He sent Jesus. Jesus loved the Father, so he obeyed. And when Jesus went back, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit now sends us out to minister to the world. The only way that we can get God's heart for the world and for his church is boldly before the throne of grace. In and of ourselves, we get frustrated. We get angry. We get annoyed and irritated. But when we go before the throne, we get his eyes and we get rest for our souls. Do we love ourselves enough to spend time in God's word with him before the throne of grace? Jesus bought you with a price. He loves you. Everybody, just bow your heads for a moment. Close your eyes. We're going to end the service a little bit differently than we normally do, but I just want to offer you an opportunity to receive Jesus. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and you realize now, I need him. I may not understand it all, but I need him. Please just look up at me, raise your hand, and tell me that you want to ask Jesus in your heart today. So many people in this room have already done that, so don't be afraid if you've never asked Jesus into your life. Anybody today? Okay. We're going to take a moment now, and I know this may feel like rushed, but just breathe a little bit, calm your heart. We're going to do a final song right now. It's called Press In. As we do that, I want to invite you to come before the throne of grace. I encourage you, come up to the front and kneel in the front here if you'd like to. If you need to leave, you can. If you would please just do that quietly to give people an opportunity to come up to the altar, or you can even, you know, stay at your seat if you want to, but come boldly before his throne. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you. Father, we love you. We thank you that you laid your life down for us and that you love us too. Work in our hearts now. Help us to come boldly before your throne of grace. Thank you.
You spoke the world into being. You light the night and King of all, you open heaven's gates, and everything brings you praise. I come humbly before you. I seek forgiveness and strength. You said if I will draw near to you, that you draw near me too. I come closer, I press in. My arms are open, my heart is open. I come closer, I press in, my arms are open, my heart is open. Yes, here I am. I press in, crowns laid down, arms held high. Here I am. I press in. Jesus, do you hear my cry? Yes, child. You are my child, my potter's clay. There is no end to my love. I am the joy for your mourning and for your grace, beauty and grace. I know the story in your wounds. There's a story in mine too. My strength is perfect in your weakness, so let my power rise up in you. So come closer. Press in. The invitation is always open. So come closer. Press in. The invitation is always open. Oh, here I am. Press in. Come speak your heart to mine. Here I am, pressing. Come close and stay a while. You're not alone, 'cause we're together through this battle. Hold on, the victory. The enemy is crushed under your feet, so you can rest on me.
Come into your presence, Lord, boldly before the throne of grace. We thank you, Lord, you are holy, holy, holy.
Oh, here I am, pressing. Come speak your heart to mine. Here I am, pressing. Come close and stay a while. So pressing. Come closer, embrace my arms. Come closer, press in. Feel my strength and love. Feel my strength. Feel my strength and love. Oh, child, let go. Oh, let go and come close.
Thank you, Lord God, for your presence, for your love for us, for your grace and your compassion. And Lord, thank you for your holiness. You are worthy of our praise. God, just be with each person as they exit today. Lord, if anyone doesn't know you, Lord, they will come to know you, love you, and serve you. God, thank you for your grace to go about the rest of the day and the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.